in my opinion, then you know, you can probably learn a thing or two about necessities and being convenient. We have the human condition is based on, we're just flawed, right? We're just flawed, and I am bad, and I have a problem with trying to decide what is a need and what is a want.
Right.
So it's important. This conversation is necessary. It's a need in our country, where there is hate being fought with hate, and the political agendas won't be set aside for the greater good of our country. It's almost sickening to a lot of us patriots, because we see that if we were able to just set our opinions aside, or our differences, and focus on our commonality is this, that we're the greatest nation in the world, and that we have the ability to come to people's rescues at any given moment. And that's important, because we have saved billions of lives from poverty, from desolation, from COVID-19. And the fact of the matter is that we're tearing ourselves apart from the inside out, because we're focused on our differences rather than our
right
similarities.
Our solutions.
Yes. Yeah, we're all problem driven, right? Well, here's a problem.
Because you're out there in Detroit, right? And you have a lot of employees out there in the field. How has this impacted to your, let's say, leadership and also productivity with your employees?
I have to tell you, State of Michigan is a leader when it comes to safety and security of the people, and care about people first. Our governor is doing, again, this is not a political statement, I'm just saying that the care for the employees has been top priority. And I am just absolutely so proud to say that, to answer your question, Nikki, is productivity is higher than it was before.
They can test whether he has, there's a saliva test or the swab test that you do it in the mouth and the nose. And if he's shedding viruses, according to if the test is positive, then he can take a break and quarantine for 14 days until he can become clear, and then you turn back to work. That's all it takes. It's just a test that will take only two days. And if he's negative and it's just a regular flu, it depends. If he's able to do the work, he can wear the mask, it's no problem. He can continue. So that's something has to be recommended by his doctor to whether he can go back to work or not. They may have underlying disease and they may be vulnerable to end up with complications of COVID-19 and severe disease.
When you hire people, make sure they have the kind of traits and characteristics.
What's going on right now in your region, in Netherlands?
Yes. So,
how are they responding to this?
Yes, exactly. So 2 years ago, my region, Nijmegen, was the green capital of Europe, 2018. Each year, there's a green capital in each state, each member state. They select one. And today, nowadays, like Mr. Burke also said, there's also a lot of opportunities working digitally, remotely from laptop, via Zoom, via video call. So for me, personally, it doesn't affect me at all. But if I look at the surroundings behind me, my family, my friends, they really get struck by this pandemic. And it's really sad to see. But when I think of the word recovery, I think about young people taking leadership, getting educated on the subjects, getting educated on sustainability, SDGs, the possibilities of local engagement, networking with businesses, governments, and society. How can I strengthen my community instead of protesting against the government? first we need to see what are the opportunities that we have, and from there on, as a young leader, as a young student, network with different policymakers, experts from a local perspective, and then go into action with a certain project or a networking event, and just have a dialogue on this issue instead of protesting against governments and stuff like this. Because I think also Mr. Berg also said, like, you can't fight hate with hate. You have to fight it with a different kind of mindset. It's all a mindset, actually, if you think about it, a lifestyle, a behavior change of a person, but also on society in general. And that's what I noticed as well in my country, in the Netherlands. I'm from the Netherlands. It has been announced the European Green Deal last year in December 2019 by Frans Timmermans. He is the vice chairman of the European Commission. And he announced his Green Deal, and he sees opportunities right now, because everything is in a state of, you could say, chaos, to rebuild something more sustainable on the basis of this pandemic.
And so I'm sharing on the screen ways to protect yourself, basically, from COVID.
I believe all these guidelines, it's part of protection, social distancing, wearing the mask, especially covering the mouth. And now, whether is it practically to cover your nose for a long period of time, there's a lot of people having a hard time covering their nose because they may have some underlying disease, especially cardiovascular. But at least the mouth needs to be covered indoor. You don't cover it outdoor. If you're outdoor, don't wear the mask. It's a waste of time.
So we can create a very informative, educational, and hey, it is going to happen to you if you don't pay attention, right, to the signs and symptoms and do a self-evaluation, but make it entertaining, yeah, catchy for our youth. And that's the only feedback that I have. And again,
but, all right, I have a question that you guys, I put on the screen. If you want, it's important for us to continue talking about just that, you know, the financial support side of it. So that's a summary conversation that I'd like to continue on. That's what I'm trying to say. I think, you know, preparedness and training are really the bedrock for our own safety. I mean, I hear this from everywhere right now. I mean, just self-sufficiency, self-reliancy, right? I heard it from Dr. Berg. There is a good quote that I'd like to share with you all here. Plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. Dwight Eisenhower said that. Time is running out, I think it's already 12 o'clock noon here. Challenges and problems, you guys, happen for us and not to us. So it's the way that we respond. I think at the beginning of this session, Dr. Berg stated very well that challenges is the need, right? Challenges make us grow and sculpt us. What matters most is really our mental and social fitness, I call it, right? It all starts with the mindset. How we're going to respond to the challenges, right? To the longevity, to humanity here, to sustain on this planet, you know, right? You know, find better ways to overcome some of the challenges. We need the ethical leadership, as we stated earlier also, right? We cannot achieve this environmental or planetary sustainability without achieving our own personal sustainability. We are the role models for our next generation. I think Ramon will agree with me on that. I hope that we can learn
100%.
Together.
Yeah.
Right, in finding ways to avoid and reduce the set of risks and challenges that we face, that we must unite together. It just makes more sense now. The conversation was a little bit different then. Okay. guys mind panelists to start your video? Right? Ramon.
I can't hear you that well.
Everyone, a panelist.
Yes.
All right, 11 o'clock right now. There's a lot of things we're going to discuss this morning. First of all, thank you, gentlemen, for all of my guests, also, especially my panelists this morning. Thank you so very much. It's good to be here with you all. it's way better than. Actually, it's way better than traffic in LA. You know, just sitting around here in front of the camera for Zoom meetings, right? We'll start now. It will be very interactive and conversational group session. So, but at any time, the audiences have any questions, please do so. Write your questions in the chat box and we will, you know, revert back to those questions at a given time. I believe it's going to be at the very end of this conversation. At any time, just, you know, if you'd like to raise your hand, we'll go ahead and attend that, all right? So, how are you guys doing, panelists?
Doing great.
Okay, good. All right, great. Conversations were a little bit different back then, you know, before COVID. This about disaster preparedness and sustainability was a little bit different. Now we're in the COVID situation, pandemic globally. We need to consider, you know, continuing this conversation. We recognize the entire world from all aspects, right? Facing financial and emotional and operational challenges brought on by this infamous COVID. So questions always stood out. What have we learned? You know, really, what is it? How the year has passed now? So my personal 3 cents on this: education awareness is the foremost aspect, integral, you know, point is the whole spectrum of the chaos. What is the correct information on the virus? And how are we gonna overcome, you know, this pandemic? Educating the public is very crucial. Then we have the business aspect of it. And then the correct information, and then the personal aspect of it, right? This COVID has massively affected multi-dimension aspects in our world. The health, economic, job security, food security, you know, sustainability, right? How COVID has changed our world of tomorrow so completely. And this is so very true. Sure, we had previous pandemics, right, in our lifetime, in just over the past decades, but nothing like this. 7 continents around the world, never been in history, human history, that we are seeing so much relentless efforts in focusing, trying to solve this single problem, right, as we're coming together with a solution. It's incredible to watch in just over the past decades, but nothing like this. Leaders such as yourself, ordinary individuals, never been in history, human history, that we are seeing individuals around the globe extend themselves, you know, to combat this pandemic, finding a vaccine. As a result, this single thank you to everyone who are doctors listening, health doctors, health care providers, first responders, leaders such as yourself, ordinary individuals around yourself and you all, you know, to combat this pandemic, and also the families, doctors, finding a vaccine as we're standing right now together, right? First of all, we want to say condolences to the families who have lost their loved ones. You know, then we have more challenges ahead, right? First responders, leaders are here. What are we doing? What do we do? Do we have infrastructures for delivery to this, to the masses, to the public? I thought about this, you know, about a month ago. How are we going to deliver this vaccine to the billions of people? Do we have infrastructures in place already? Here's a great quote that I want to share with you all. I share this all the time. Disaster does not recognize who or what you are. Disaster does not recognize your combat, this pandemic, or, you know, your age, your political status, gender, faith, ethnicity. We must come and unite together. I think we know that, right? COVID is crushing the party. There's never before on this entire planet, right? And say, hey, let's have all of our doctors listening, healthcare figuring it out collectively, right, as humanity. Already nearly about, what now, 5 months and a half maybe, have started unfolding before us. We are seeing, you know, the families, that the families, called reorienting relationship to the government, outside world. Pastor does not recognize the way that we do business, even to each other. You know, when we have more channels, you know, we're using right now Zoom to communicate, stay in touch with each other, business-wise, family, you know, about a month ago. How are we going to live our age of political? COVID is crushing the stay connected and communication. We're seeing less polarization. And some, here's a great quote that I want to share, like there's never before. Yes, for the after political stability. As we are figuring it out, we'll present ahead of it. We know that, right? Companies are seeing, you know, maybe a few months as we define and work with the government outside the world. So it's just unknown for all of us. As we are figuring it out now, 5 months and a half maybe, going to communicate that healthcare, you know, economy. We are seeing, you know, family-wise, personal, right? Stay connected many more. More restraint outside the world, the way that we do now Zoom to communicate, manufacturing. Hunger for diversion for humanity, yes, for that. Seeking authorization, you know, yes, for the app or something. None of us until the year end 2020. I mean, these are just unknown for all of us. You know, economy, our right to going back to basic manufacturing. Hunger for diversion and 2020. I mean, these are just unknown way for us to take time to self-reflect, right? You know, either. And really, we've got to work many, many more in the space that we share, that we call the support system. You know, maybe at this time, it's a way for us to take time to self-reflect, right? To go in our lives. Maybe for us to go back to learn to take care of each other. And I hear this all the time. It's not bad after all. And in some cases, because no more traffic, LA traffic for my case, minus traffic, minus travel time, it does improve what? Productivity and increase efficiency, right? Here's some questions I want to just share with you all here. Has climate change and COVID somehow intersected along the way in this whole thing right now? What and how can sustainability expedite recovery? How are we staying sustainable for our businesses, our family, our home front? What are our strategies and tactics to cut, you know, to cope, to overcome, deal with this moving target? What would we do differently? I have some share screen here. I'm sorry. Hang on. That we can do to prepare for next time. I mean, now that we have some kind of experiences or blueprint, right? But for right now, you guys in? All right. But for right now, this is what we have. You know, this infamous virus is really disrupting our lives, right? Our freedom and impacting sustainability. So many questions that we want to, you know, unresolved. I mean, so many questions that we want to ask, right? Just to be answered. Hold on, guys. So with me here, I brought in some great panelists and, you know, amazing panel here this morning. I'm going to show you. Okay. Dr. Matthew Burke, PhD. I think he is on here. Retired combat veteran, show your face, please. Founder of 10 Can Inc., a nonprofit. Hi, Dr. Burke. Good morning.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you? Hello, Halasa. A medical doctor, founder of Academios, and Muhammad Agrabi is from Michigan Department of Transportation. Good morning, sir. Can you show us?
Yes, it's an honor to be with everybody.
Great. Thank you, sir. Good morning. Ramon Rahamatan, all the way from Netherlands. He's the co-founder of Circle of Sustainable Europe. Thank you for being here, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Must be late, Nikki. For you, Ramon, right?
Yes, 8 p.m., but I'm doing good.
All right.
Excited.
Have my coffee. I'll share it with you. Mr. Frank Kelly. Business growth, career, and leadership development at Kelly Consulting. He's all the way from Houston, Texas. Is he here? All right, well, let's start with the core part in the subject, okay? I have some questions on the these things, and we'll start with you all in a roundtable format. There are more viruses than stars out there, right? More than a trillion out there. Individual just viruses exist on Earth. I don't know if you guys know that, but it is true. But most are not bearing into humans. And why do only some infect us humans, right? And here's a commonly asked question. Is how can I protect myself from COVID? And I want to start with Dr. Salah, if he is here. Hello, Dr. Salah, is he here? Are we having technical difficulties here with him? All right, I want to go with Dr. Burt on his, all right, it's defined as avoidance of the depletion of our natural resources, right? In order for us to maintain an ecological balance, right? The pursuit of global environmental sustainability. And is this something, I guess my question is this, what is that one piece of practical advice that you would give in respect to business leadership, such as ethical leadership?
Have the fortitude to when you have to. That's my advice practically. We have grown a palate of fine cuisine, and we panic when we no longer have access to the conveniences of first world countries. In my travels abroad, I've seen a lot of hardship, and I've experienced hardship growing up in poverty myself. The sustainability factor is being ahead of the game. To have the ability to, as a leader, to not only lead people to the water, but to convince them to drink.
Right.
That's a real big cop-out for most of us leaders is, well, I can only lead them to the water, but I can't force them to drink. I imagine most of you guys have heard that phrase before. So figuring out how to convince the population or your subjects, if you would, on the factors of eating Spam when necessary and being happy with it. Because what it really boils down to at the end of the day, in my personal opinion, is being content with what we have. Right? COVID hasn't affected me at all. It's affected our operation because of our donor base. Our donors are holding on to their money a lot tighter, and those stakeholders are trying to take care of themselves. But we train our organization, and I train people for survival. And surviving situations, pandemics, disasters, crises, just surviving out if you're lost. Again, it boils back down to being able to manage. People call it mental fortitude. I like to call it spiritual fortitude. Having a positive spirit.
Hello?
Should I keep going or was my summary?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it, man. I don't get long-winded. I try just to trim down the fat and just give facts based on my experiences. And again, I live on a farm. It's convenient for me to grow my own foods. I live pretty sustainably. There's a lot of different programs out there to where, you know, you can learn how to live and survive in the urban areas off of minimum supplies. But if you're wasting food, if you don't consume all your food on your plate, or if you're obese, I'm just again in my opinion, then. Then, you know, you can probably learn a thing or two about necessities and being convenient. We have the human condition is based on, we're just flawed, right? We're just flawed. And I am bad. And I have a problem with trying to decide what is a need and what is a want.
Right.
So it's important. This conversation is necessary. It's a need in our country, where there is hate being fought with hate, and the political agendas won't be set aside for the greater good of our country. It's almost sickening to a lot of us patriots, because we see that if we were able to just set our opinions aside or our differences and focus on our commonality is this, that we're the greatest nation in the world, and that we have the ability to come to people's rescues at any given moment. And that's important, because we have saved billions of lives from poverty, from desolation, from COVID-19. And the fact of the matter is that we're tearing ourselves apart from the inside out because we're focused on our differences rather than our
right.
similarities.
Our solutions.
Yes. Yeah, we're all problem driven, right? Well, here's a problem. And when I'm leading people and they say, hey, man, there's a problem. Well, until you come to me with a solution, I don't really want to hear the problem. And that's not me being callous. That's just me stimulating their ability to think through the problem.
Is it almost like a parenting as well? First of all, you don't take sides. And you want to hear both problems first as a good problem solver and listener as well. I mean, you have to have those kind of traits, right?
Absolutely.
You cannot just one-sided, right? You got to have to, and
yeah,
you're right, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely important to be unbiased and be able to hear both sides. And then to discern, I base my morality on biblical principles. That's what I base my morality on and my ethical behavior. You know, there's some crazy stuff that happened in the Old Testament. I make sure that I don't go out and start slaying people because, like old Samson did in the Bible, I make sure that I'm able to balance the both of them and just love.
Right. I want to go back. I want to go to another panelist for their insights here. Sir Mohammed, thank you so much, first of all. Dr. Bird, thank you so much for this insight. But let me go back here before I lose him. What are the insights on this area with, because you're out there in Detroit, right? Mohammed?
Yes, I am.
Right. And you have a lot of employees out there in the field. How has this impacted to your, let's say, leadership and also productivity with your employees?
I have to tell you, state of Michigan is a leader when it comes to safety and security of the people and care about people first. Our governor is doing, again, this is not a political statement. I'm just saying that the care for the employees has been top priority. And I am just absolutely so proud to say that, to answer your question, Nikki, is productivity is actually higher than it was before, if you can believe that, because people are not driving to the job
yeah.
site. They
right.
are saving. I had this conversation with you, Nikki, that basically there are a lot of savings in terms of time, because our time, I used to travel at least 2 hours each way to get to my job site, and now I can do this from my home. So yes, COVID has added some inconveniences, but in the big picture, it provided a lot of for us. The concept of sustainability is so beautiful because it's thinking outside the box. What we thought was impossible, it is possible. It is, we're thinking outside the box, just like what Dr. Burke said. You know, we need to come up with solutions rather than creating problems. There are a lot of course, COVID is bad, and we're going to address it and deal with the health aspects of it. But in terms of the opportunities that it created for all of us is enormous. And I can go on and on and on, but I'll pause and just come back to you and say we are doing well when it comes to keeping our projects on time, on schedule, and delivering the services that we promise to the citizens and the people we work with.
You're in Detroit, right? Michigan?
Yes.
How do you feel? Let me ask you this. How do you feel that, you know, people are starting to talk about second wave, business isn't disinfecting play a role in this, right? So it's becoming a norm or standard now. Is that something that part of our business work ethics, you think, in the long term?
I'm glad you asked that question. I don't know about the answer to that question, but I'm sure it's being thought of because, again, the concept of telecommuting was not a concept that is in our culture, but now it's being thought of as an option because it created an opportunity. It's just like the concept of the environment, what we think of when we build a building and we don't think about all the option for sustainability. We would be missed if we don't think about it, because when we think it's extra and it costs more, or we don't know if the employees are going to perform their jobs, the proof is in the pudding. People are working harder and performing better under the circumstances from a telecommuting concept. So, I mean, you look at these big corporations, they're all thinking this could be used for a long haul, long-term solution. So I am really excited about the opportunities that is given us to do something that before we thought it was impossible.
So COVID has opened up those opportunities that we never thought before. I mean, we never really thought about this before, right? I mean, gone through.
That's exactly right.
Right. I want to pass the baton to... Thank you so much, Mohammed, for that.
My pleasure. I'll stay around if there are any other questions.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are more. Ramon, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I just lost a little bit of the audio, so sorry that I didn't hear you beforehand. But
that's good.
We're good. Okay. Now so what was the question?
Yeah, I mean, let's continue passing that baton in regards to, you know, the COVID impact in sustainability. How is it going on? What's going on right now in your region? In Netherlands.
Yes. So
how are they responding to this?
Yes, exactly. So 2 years ago, my region, Nijmegen, was the green capital of Europe, 2018. Each year, there's a green capital in each state, each member state. They select one. And today, nowadays, like Mr. Burke also said, there's also a lot of opportunities working digitally, remotely from laptop, via Zoom, via video call. So for me, personally, it doesn't affect me at all. But if I look at the surroundings behind me, my families, my friends, they really get struck by this pandemic. And it's really sad to see. But when I think of the word recovery, I think about young people taking leadership, getting educated on the subjects, getting educated on sustainability, SDGs, you know, the possibilities of local engagement, you know, networking with businesses, governments, and society. How can I strengthen my community instead of protesting against the government? First, we need to see what are the opportunities that we have. And from there on, as a young leader, as a young student, network with different policymakers, experts from a local perspective, and then go into action with a certain project or a networking event, and just have a dialogue on this issue instead of protesting against governments and stuff like this. Because I think also Mr. Burke also said, like, you can't fight hate with hate. You have to fight it with a different kind of mindset. It's all a mindset, actually. If you think about it, a lifestyle, a behavior change of a person, but also on society in general. And that's what I noticed as well in my country, in the Netherlands. I'm from the Netherlands, which also has been announced the European Green Deal last year in December 2019 by Frans Timmermans. He is the vice chairman of the European Commission. And he announced his Green Deal, and he sees opportunities right now because everything is in a state of, you could say, chaos, to rebuild something more sustainable on the basis of this pandemic. And what you see right now in the Netherlands a lot is they are really investing in digital solutions. So they really want to gather data from certain regions to then have an overview of certain problems that are facing. And they, with that data, they can implement certain solutions more efficiently instead of just doing it by, you know, finger in the air and just guessing where the solution should be. So you see a lot of digital innovation in the Netherlands, but at the same time, it's hard to adapt for people to this circumstances. So there's a plus and a minus to this pandemic.
So we're flexible with a lot of different new approaches, right? I mean, we should be.
Exactly, yes, resilient.
Times like crisis like this, I mean, you know, we have no other choice than trying to be flexible, trying to be open-minded, you know, with all of, you know, solutions, possible solutions approaches. Yes. Now, what I was going to ask you, that education for me personally is very, very important for the young next generation. And you are... your business, what you're doing in Netherlands, is really with the education, the youth programs, right?
Yes, exactly.
Have you been transitioning or adapting to what's going on right now to go move forward to sustainability more so?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so what I noticed with especially young people, as you mentioned, they don't really know what the projects are, what kind of initiatives that are there, what organizations that are helping sustainability moving forward. They don't know about these tools. So what I do, I have like an overview, give them a certain package of this is what we have locally in the community that you can be engaged in. So I give them the key, but the door they should walk in themselves. That's the big thing. The young people need to get to the door, and then the key, they can open the door for themselves to be more sustainable themselves, or to give their expertise to those sustainability practices. Young people should really give them more opportunities, but you can also balance that with personal development. If you can balance them both, like the internal drive, ambition, but also the external opportunities that they can be given to express their knowledge and their solutions as well.
How is the school system right now going on? I mean, are they still closed, or I mean, are they reopening? Does that affect you to your region at all?
They're actually in Microsoft Teams is a really popular word right now in across the school. So they're working a lot with Microsoft Teams now. Like there's no need for, like, here in the Netherlands, you have 1.5 meter distance, like social distancing we have, and you have to wear a mask at certain specific places. So it's not that you have to wear a mask like every single time, but at certain specific places you have to wear a mask. You can imagine for a young person in this hot and the heat with a mask, it's pretty, you know, many young people don't even listen. They think like, oh, these are just rules by the government, we don't listen, which I can understand, but it's a different way of you know, doing your work via laptop, via Zoom. You can just, you know, express yourself in a better way. So Microsoft Teams is a golden term here right now in the Netherlands at the education part.
In your personal opinion, though, I know I asked this to many, many people that I've come across, how long will this last? Just in your personal opinion.
Yes.
You know, the distancing and wearing the face mask.
Yes.
I mean, how are you feeling about that?
I think it will last maybe around 2 months, 2-3 months here in the Netherlands, that we still have these rules. Because yesterday, actually, the Prime Minister announced that he addressed young people to abide to the rules on live television, Mark Rutte from the Netherlands. So I think it will be like 2-3 months. We still need to have these rules and social distancing. And especially, I believe that this is not going to be the last pandemic. I think there's multiple coming. Yeah, I think we should prepare ourselves for that as well.
Right. Thank you for that insight. Thank you. I'm calling Frank Kelly if he is out here. Thank you, Ramon. Stick around because I still have questions. We're going to post them on the screen, all right? Frank Kelly, are you there? Dr. Sala?
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I can hear you. Yes. How are you? I'm sorry for being late.
Oh, we're okay.
I pushed it.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Dr.
And I see your question here. How many of you have disaster kits? So this is the answer for this question. We already have a compounding pharmacy in Florida, Amex Pharmacy. I designed the kits for them, which is using oral methylene blue photodynamic therapy to inactivate the virus in the mouth. I think that would consider as a disaster kit, because you can use it to as a prophylaxis to inactivate those viruses, because those viruses of COVID-19 does replicates in the mouth and the salivary glands. So that's actually the entry site. And then if your immune system is not strong enough, it progresses into the lung and causes the COVID-19 complication and death. So if you have the immune strong enough to battle the virus and preventing it from progressing, then you will become an asymptomatic. But if the virus is replicating and is causing some impact on your bodies and it's inducing inflammation, so you start having this mild to moderate condition where you have cough and a little bit of fever and muscle pain. But if it goes all the way to the lung, it leads to pneumonia and cytokine storm. So it's all about how your immune system is fighting it, and that manifests into those different stages of clinical stages of the disease. But this kit will definitely help to decrease the viral load and allow your immune system to battle the virus and preventing it from progressing and become clinical manifested. So yes, we have that kit ready. It's a kit that contains Methylene Blue mouthwash, a light device, and also all the supplements that we recommend to boost the immune system, which is zinc and curcumin and quercetrine and melatonin. It's included inside the kit. So we do recommend it. And if you want to play the video that I shared in the text, that shows, just give you a better understanding of the plan that we think it will help to mitigate this disaster.
Dr. Sala, would you mind write on the text on the chat box the sources that you just mentioned about the kits, please?
Yeah, so it's a compounding pharmacist. I would recommend you to call his cell phone number directly. His Amex Pharmacy and pharmacist who is working with us, his name is Dr. Mike Beamer, and the phone number is 321-301.
Would you mind writing it down on the chat box, Dr. Sala?
Yeah, I will go ahead and text it, yes. Meanwhile, if you want to play the video that I put it in the chat,
okay.
We can watch it for, it's only 5 minutes, and then we can come up with some answering questions.
Yeah, I also post, you guys, those questions earlier when Dr. Sala, at the beginning of this,
I did not hear you. Did you say something? It was cutting up.
Oh, yeah. I am sharing with you I'm sharing with you because we asked you these questions earlier and you weren't arrived yet. So I'm sharing on the screen ways that to protect yourself, basically, from COVID.
I believe all those guidelines, it's part of protection, social distancing, wearing the mask, especially covering the mouth. Now, whether is it practically to cover your nose for a long period of time, there's a lot of people having a hard time covering their nose because they may have some underlying disease, especially cardiovascular. But at least the mouth needs to be covered indoor. You don't cover it outdoor. If you're outdoor, don't wear the mask. It's a waste of time. But if you definitely with keeping your social distancing, even outdoor. Indoor, wearing the mask is critical, especially covering the mouth, because if you see Dr. Fauci when he was talking about the droplets, and he's showing them the clouds on the image. There's a good video of that. When somebody sneezes, it shows all the droplets really comes out from the mouth, not from the nose. So covering the mouth is very important for indoor, washing your hands, all this hygienic protocol is very important. But I think if you play my video, you can have better medically understanding of the COVID-19 and treatments that's available for managing COVID-19. So I'd like you to, if you want to play it for 5 minutes, we watch it together, and then we can come up with some questions and answers from the audience and all aspects of COVID-19, socially, economically, medically. I think that's what this platform is all about, right?
And number two, antibody testing of the vulnerable people and allow them to resume work if they show positive immunity. Number three, open all the businesses and allow the healthy people back to work in order to speed the process of reaching the herd immunity level. Number four, antibody testing of randomly selected groups of 1,000 people to estimate the level of herd immunity and assess the efficacy of the recommended COVID-19 management plan by dividing the COVID-19 mortality rate with the herd immunity rate. Number five, viral inactivation therapies for the following patient types. A, positive PCR tested patients. B, symptomatic patients. C, asymptomatic patients who are in direct contact with COVID-19 patients, such as healthcare providers and caregivers. The viral inactivation therapies consist of combining oral methylene blue mouthwash and oral photodynamic therapy, along with polyphenol supplements and others, such as curcumin, CBD, quercetin, melatonin, and zinc. Number six, optimization of the body's health status through immune-boosting therapies and reinforcing the adherence to the recommended long-term treatment of the patient's underlying diseases. Education on healthy lifestyle and healthy nutritional programs is the key for all patients with chronic conditions in order to fight infections and develop strong immunity. This is accomplished through optimizing and balancing the body's immune, endocrine, and endocannabinoid systems, in addition to normalizing the nutritional and cytokines level using the recommended integrative and regenerative therapies. Number seven, understanding COVID-19 as a systemic disease and tackle its complication with reliable therapeutic protocols that will address this complex disease process, which includes pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, high altitude pulmonary edema, acute respiratory distress syndrome, the cytokine storm, hemoglobinemia, septicemia, disseminated intravascular coagulations, systemic inflammation, systemic vasculitis, antiphospholipid antibody syndrome, which leads to multi-organ failure and potential death. It is advisable to consider innovative and cutting-edge therapies, such as antiviral therapy, intravenous methylene blue photodynamic therapy, cannabinoid therapy, nitric oxide inhalation, anticoagulant therapy, exosomes inhalation, intravenous vitamin C, restoring vitamin D and 6 hormone normal levels, convalescent plasma therapy, in addition to oxygen and low pressure ventilation. Number eight, cognitive behavior therapy, which consists of a wide range of evidence-based cognitive and behavioral psychotherapies that involve techniques and strategies to address unhealthy thoughts and behaviors across many psychological issues, including anxiety and depression. Thank you for listening.
All right. Dr. Sala?
Yes, and so if there's anybody has questions,
welcome to Trials of the Dead.
That would be great.
Okay, sorry about that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. If anybody has a quick question on this piece of the video, feel free to unmute yourself, or I think unmute yourself and then put a video on yourself so we can see you rather than typing it on the chat box. All right, Dr. Salah?
Yeah, if there's any questions, we need to ask questions regarding the video, and if you have any concern or adding things or plans, or whether it is economically, politically, socially, or something that will be added, that would be nice to hear from you.
I have a series of questions from a pre attendance question. So I'm going to share it on the screen, and any of my panelists would like to address and answer, feel free to do so. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start posting it right now. Is that going to be okay with you guys? Hello. Hold tight. All right, here's a question. What should I do if an employee from my on-site manufacturing field comes with COVID? Okay. There's a question. What should I do if an employee from my on-site manufacturing field comes to work with COVID?
Hey, Nikki, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Hey, so we can't forget that common cold still exists. So, you know, running around tackling people who might have COVID symptoms is it could get a little out of hand. I think one of the biggest things, let me see who is in the Netherlands that we're talking about. Raymond, is that you?
Yes.
You're talking about the youth. So one of the things that that I've noticed, because I work with a lot of youth as well, is kind of this, the video we just watched, I don't mean any disrespect, but it's too much information and it's drab. Again, I don't mean any disrespect. Please understand where I'm coming from and where Raymond may be coming from as well. There has to be a little bit more creativity in educating the young people who, from my understanding, are one of the greatest people who spread the COVID-19, because they have the Superman complex, right? So if we can create a very informative, educational, and hey, it is going to happen to you if you don't, you don't pay attention, right, to the signs and symptoms and do a self-evaluation, but make it entertaining, catchy for our youth. And that's the only feedback that I have. And again, I mean no disrespect from that video. It was very educational. Just from my experience working with youth, teens, that's a solution that I would create, but I can't create it because I'm just not technically savvy. I'm an outdoorsman. I go hunting, fishing. I teach survival. I'm not a big
tech. So. My kind of person. You're out there on the farm. I'm not here in the city. That's not fair.
But I got to punch out, guys. I'm preparing to host a vet, and I just wanted to say thank you very much. It was great meeting everybody, and my website was plugged into the chat box. If you guys have anything for me, feel free to reach out. Nikki has my contact information. She has my email. You guys are welcome to send some information my way. I don't know how much I can help, but I'll do what I can.
Thank you, Matthew Burke.
Thank you so much, Dr. Burke. And we hope to see you in the next series. Thank you so much. All right. I have a question that you guys, I put on the screen. If you want to, one of the panelists answer that. Sorry about that. It's Frank Kelly.
Well, I think it's so simple. He can test whether he has, there's a saliva test or
the swab test that you do it in the mouth and the nose. And if he's shedding viruses, according to the, if the test is positive, then he can take a break and quarantine for 14 days until he can become clear, and then you turn back to work. That's all it takes. It's just a test that will take only two days. And if he's negative and it's just a regular flu, you know, it depends. If he's able to do the work, he can wear the mask. It's no problem. He can continue. So that's something has to be recommended by his doctor to whether he can go back to work or not.
Right. So he has to go through the standard process, you mean, right?
Yeah, testing is a swab. That's simple. It takes 24 hours, 48 hours. And he will have the results, and based on that, whether he will continue or not, it's all about his kind of job that he's doing. If he's in contact with people, then he needs to take a break until he become clear from the COVID-19. But it could be those symptoms are a regular flu, and if it's a regular flu, he just can wear he can work. I mean, he's not that degree of, he can just wear the mask and continue his work. So this is more about, it's personalized thing, but definitely I will not have a patient shedding the COVID-19 virus and being mingled with others, because others, they may have underlying disease and they may be vulnerable to end up with complications of COVID-19 and severe disease.
Okay. His business is in Florida, and let me read it to you. And it's hurricane season right now, so what do I do to know and prepare for anything to minimize disaster, to protect my on-site employees? Any of us would like to address that? Respond. Frank Kelly, are you there? Maybe Mohammed. Mohammed, would you, are you still there?
I'm still here. I think the key to follow the guidelines. The key thing is to know what are some of the executive orders by that governor of that state. Because, I mean, obviously there's CDC, the requirements are like, you know, that you need to follow. But also each state has its own requirements and regulations, because I want to be abiding citizen if I am going to be working in that environment, just to make sure I'm not, you know, all the things that you showed, Nikki, that you have to follow, obviously you need to follow, but in addition there might be certain restrictions. Like for us in the state of Michigan, we're still under work at home, so we're not able to work in the field per se unless we're essential workers, or there are some exceptions. So again, I need to figure out what do I need to do in the Florida to make sure. Florida is being hit hard right now, and there are a lot of cases. So I have to really pay closer attention to be careful about what is going on, and make sure that I practice all the safety requirements and make sure that I am protected and protecting others.
All right, so it does help. So follow your state jurisdiction and obviously, you know, all of these things, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's hurricane season. I think this is a great question, you know. I think he's very concerned about it. And, you know, I think it's beyond beyond anything. I mean, we got he's getting double whammed, you know. I mean, anybody right now. Geographically located, everybody's getting their own part share, you know, share of Mother Nature, I guess, natural disasters. Okay, here's the next question. In India, what is the best resource for our business in India, where most resources may not be available to sustain our business? to respond that?
Yes. I'm not really familiar with the business in India. So what's the best resource? I think the first thing, like families and first thing like families should do, they should manage to get their finance in check. Because I saw one of the questions was, how can families and businesses, how can they sustain themselves? That was the question. Right. Something like that. And I think the first thing they should do is to get their finances in check, like I said, really looking at their financials to see what is going out, what is coming in, and how do we manage to be sustainable in that regard. So the numbers are really important. I think the second thing is important that you learn to research your industry, so the field that you're working on. So let's say a farmer doesn't know really much about the policy from the government at his level. He should really know some basic knowledge on those specific subjects, so he knows what is changing, which is really important. And I think gathering data from a local perspective on the community in their industry is also really important. I think in terms, if you're speaking on India, I think the country is growing. I know that really, really growing. It has almost a lot, the most population from all the continents together. So I think in terms of India, it's still growing digitally as well. So I think it's the same principles that I just mentioned. Really get an overview of what financials coming in, gathering data, resources to make strategic decisions. Thank you.
Just serving away family that so much post any what is plans back question.
Yeah, I think I will answer this question. This has to be can you hear me? This has to be a government question to be answered. The government has to work on providing those stimulus checks, also providing those, extending those unemployment weekly things, so that those people are like this situation where they can survive. It is survivable for some people to receive those checks. So I think that's the only answer I can have for those people, is to get their government paying them the extension of the 600 per week, and also the stimulus checks going to solve this problem. There's no really any other answers. And I think India, it just, for me, as from the United States, it's hard for me to come up with a right answer because I'm not from India and I don't have the resources, or I don't know what's going on there government-wise. But those problems needs to be solved and answered by at the government level. And I think we have an answer here in the United States by moving those stimulus checks and those weekly unemployment checks.
I think that's a very good insight, a very good response. I want to continue talking just about that, the stimulus checks and the government, extending support to the public here in U.S. and also globally, trying to find out what everybody else is doing, right, globally. It is important for us to continue talking about just that, the financial support side of it. So can we, save that talk for the next series, if we may? My panelists will, whether or not that you're depending on, you're going to come back or not, right? But that's a conversation that I'd like to continue on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. I think, preparedness and training are really the bedrock for our own safety. I mean, I hear this from everywhere right now. I mean, just self-sufficiency, self-reliancy, right? I heard it from Dr. Bird. There is a good quote that I like to share with you all here. Plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. Dwight Eisenhower said that. Time is running out, I think. I think it's already 12 o'clock noon here. challenges and problems, you guys, happen for us and not to us. So it's the way that we respond. I think at the beginning of this session, Dr. Berg stated very well that challenges is the need, right? Challenges make us grow and sculpt us, right? What matters most is really our mental and social fitness, I call it, right? It all starts with the mindset. How we're going to respond to the challenges, right? To the longevity, to humanity here, to sustain on this planet, you know? Because I think sustainability...
That's it, mute.
That's what you want. That means if you want to mute it.
So how does it going... How is this all going to look like in the next 20 years, I must ask, right? Questions to consider such as, hey, will our next generation can also stay prepared and be prepared, you know, find better ways to overcome some of the challenges. We need the ethical leadership, as we stated earlier also, right? We cannot achieve this environmental or, you know, planetary sustainability without achieving our own personal sustainability, right? We are the role models for our next generation. I think Ramon will agree with me on that. I hope that we can learn 100%. Together.
Yeah.
Right, in finding ways to avoid and reduce the set of risks and challenges that we face, that we must unite together, right? While natural disasters, as we already know, have been around for forever, I mean, since the existence of the species of all of us, right? Man-made disasters as well. But when and how can we protect ourselves from these disasters? I mean, I've said this over and over again, you know, my past decade of my workshops and everything. People are just getting complacency. But when it does happen to us, we start thinking about this. It just makes more sense now. The conversation was a little bit different then. Okay, so I want to share with you all some of these three things that I think is the major trends changing the way we view and manage the technological side of it, and social and also environmental. And I think we kind of scratch on the political also factors that's influencing our communities in the coming years. All right. So hang on a minute. Let me bring you to that. Take a while here. Sorry about that.
Nikki, am I on your screen?
Hello, who's this? Frank Kelly, Frank, hi.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
I've been here a while. I just didn't want to.
That's okay. We've been trying to get...
I know. I've had some difficulties, but I overcame them. So that's part of resiliency. I have a lot to say, but I don't know how much time you got. So, you know.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and then... tell them about this. Is the, you see the risk-based planning here? I'm just going to go this really, really quickly, guys. Like I said, I mean, this plan, the social partners, if I have 2-3 questions for you, hold on. Hang on a minute. We're already on top of the hour. So hold on, guys. Hold on.
Nikki, can you see me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So,
okay, good.
I want to end this with this, and then I'm going to give the baton to you, Frank, a little bit, okay, so we can close it up and wrap it all up. This Frank, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. First, I'd like to say, Candace, great job of patience. I saw you there for quite some time. Arlene, hello. Arlene, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Good friend of mine. Okay. I don't know. I'm sorry for that. I had difficulties with the link. I'm not sure what happened, but here I am. Here's what I got to say about COVID. First and foremost, I wasn't around in 1918 when the Spanish flu came and we had the Great Depression. But I will say that it took 60 months to do the destruction of our economy, where we did it with COVID in 4 months. So okay. that's a big ticket. That's a lot of people unemployed. So this is a massive event, and it isn't going to go away. There are a lot of people think it is. Look, you know, I'm a researcher. I research the heck out of everything. I write, I told you, articles and stuff. So here's what the medical community says. This is not going to go away because everybody has got vaccines on hyperspeed. And when you put vaccines on hyperspeed, the average length of time to have a very effective vaccine for this type of disease is 4 years. So they're putting tons of money among the people to do it. They couldn't possibly manufacture this stuff. They don't even have the capability to do it. Plus, they have to develop it. So here's the thing. Whatever they develop isn't necessarily going to be the answer. It probably will not be a cure. It'll probably reduce the chances of you getting COVID by some percentage point, which they don't really know. I mean, their medical experts are very honest about that. So here's the thing. COVID is going to be around in 2021. Most of the medical experts say most of the year. This is a different type of pandemic. Because normally colder months is where they occur. This thing exists in cold weather, in mild weather, in hot weather. So nothing kills this little sucker. It even killed a dog the other day.
It does not like heat, right? So should we? Are you recommending?
No,
really?
Heat's not going to help us, no. So it doesn't heat doesn't bother it at all.
Darn, this is a form to locate the Sahara.
So what I would what I try to tell people is first and foremost, look, be at peace. Okay, very important for your mental health. And what's going to take us? What we really need is leadership. You know that's my specialty, and I've been really working with people on COVID and other things because I know they want everything to be resolved, as we always do in the U.S., immediately. It ain't going to happen. And people that say it's going to happen are not telling the truth. So all the research shows this is going to be around for a while. So, you know, in the Asian countries, they have been wearing masks for a number of years. And so what I'm telling you is I think we're going to have at least another year where we'll be wearing masks for sure, especially in close contact with people. I mean, you know, outdoor events, if you're out there walking alone, no problem. But, you know, it's going to change things. But here's the thing. Look what Amazon did and companies like that to the retail market. They destroyed it. And yet they became what we really want. So that's not a bad thing, I try to tell people. It's something that we need to understand as we evolve. We have predicted within the next 15 years that artificial intelligence, machine learning, and data analytics would eliminate 50 million jobs. However, one of the things we need is people that have a growth mindset. A growth mindset means they read, they research, they're always thinking ahead, and they need also great communication skills to teach people how to do new jobs, because machines will be doing some of the jobs that the other people are doing. The nice thing about the U.S. and America, we're very resilient. We're going to bounce back. And I think most countries will. And we're very entrepreneurial. So, you know, I work with entrepreneurs. I work with large companies. I think we're going to see a lot of entrepreneurial growth that's going to come out of this whole process. So that's not a bad thing, because we don't even know what people are even thinking about right now. But look at Jeff Bezos. I mean, came from a mom who was like 16 years old, fatherless. I mean, well, the father wasn't in the picture. Cuban, wonderful Cuban man, married her and became his father. Taught him what it takes to be a man, and was great at doing all kinds of things. And so Bezos, growing up, realized, look, if anything's going to happen, I have to take responsibility for it and make it happen. So my philosophy is this, is that leadership is not where it needs to be. And you know I work with leaders a lot. And they don't necessarily understand what are some of the key characteristics of leadership. So what I'm trying to teach them is, first and foremost, when you hire people, make sure they have the kind of traits and characteristics. I think I told you this, Nikki, I did a lot of research on emotional intelligence. I couldn't find it in any business book, so I had to go to psychology. It started in 1990, and in 1995, Daniel Coleman, as a psychologist from Harvard, developed the emotional intelligence that we know today. Dr. Travis Bradbury cemented it. He was a couple of years later. They both wrote best-selling books. But what Bradbury did is confirm what Coleman had already taught. Social intelligence is broken down into what they call four domains. And then underneath each domain, there's a number of different traits, a total of 12. So one of the things I teach people that hire is that what Travis Bradbury took Coleman's work, he took 1 million people in his survey, and they took the emotional intelligence test that he still, I think it's still attached to his book, if I'm not mistaken. And what they did is they took the test. And then what they did is ask the people they directly reported to, not knowing the answer of what they did on the test, where do you rank this person? Of the 1 million people, 90% of the top performers scored extremely high EQ or emotional intelligence. You know, I don't want to make the whole program about that, but is something that is misunderstood. People want quick answers, and they think they know. I have many clients that never even tested for it and still probably don't. Yeah, the ones that I work with, I tell them, I'm not going to work with you if you don't. Because if you want me to grow your business rapidly,
I've got to have talent that I know that can do it. And so if they have high emotional intelligence, that means I'm going to be able to teach them. And, you know, I don't want this whole program to be on emotional intelligence, but it's a key characteristic in leadership. There are many other things, character, resiliency, so many different things. But I think the sad part is we spend $50 billion a year on leadership training. Millennials that will make up 75% of the job market in the next several years, and the top four reasons they choose a company, one is remote work. So all of a sudden, remote work was growing, but all of a sudden now, everybody who knows nothing about remote work has been shot out into the field.
Right.
Yeah. Now the problem with that is there was a survey of all these people that had been there a while. They say, are you happy? 44% said they were not. Why? They lost the sense of company culture. They didn't, you know, when you're working remotely, it's very easy to get into your own little world. That's why it's important to have friends that you can discuss things with, have group forums. I tell them, look, it's important that the leaders communicate with their employees. I have a lot of them that say, why do I need to do video conferencing? I said, are you kidding? Do you want to, if not, get out of the C-suite and go out and visit your people and see what they're doing.
Right.
So, you know, the reality is we have got to communicate more to the employee base so they get comfortable to understand what are we doing for the future. Look, right. COVID's going to be around for a while, so let's just get used to it, and let's understand the vaccine that we have that we'll get. We hope to have by, you know, late, probably early 2021. The possibility of it being extremely effective is not real high because they're doing it so fast. Remember, I told you the average time takes 4 years. And this one is the toughest one we've had in a long time. I mean, it's right now, the saddest part is young people are catching it, which usually it's people that are older, like me. So, you know, that's scary. You know, I mean, but here's the thing. I have a neighbor. He's a great young man, probably in his mid-30s, but they're out playing, you know, in the pool at night, and you know, they got lots of people over, no masks, no nothing. So they got to be passing all that to each other. So they, I don't think they actually, a lot of them don't do it because they don't want to. I don't think they understand. They think they're impervious. I remember being young once too. I even played football, and I remember thinking, well, nothing can get me. Well, yes, this little thing, this little virus, can do lots of damage to you.
Right. I think this is great, Frank. We really would like to continue this kind of conversation, obviously, because we're having serious students. Just FYI, you guys, on the screen, interject a little bit here. There is a what's next, okay? And then you guys can use the same link to jump in the conversation again. Continue the conversation. This is very insightful, very educational. Series 2, Series 3 is next Friday, August 14 and August 21 at the same time, 11 a.m. Frank, I really appreciate that. We really wish that we can continue talking about leadership. It's very crucial right now. We do need ethical leadership these days.
Okay.
I think Eric also covered that a little bit. We are going to touch on and focus more on leadership, communication, and business infrastructure, how we're going to be dealing with the you know, impacting the sustainability in that area. Because I for one, I've never seen anything like this. You know, we talk about this, I think, with you, Frank, about business process reengineering back in the 80s, right? I was consulting organizations about change management. I mean, we're right now trying to completely change the infrastructure because it is outdated. I think it's time right now to stop the house, right? Business models, business change, you know, business models.
And it takes education, but also takes follow through. They have to go out and talk to the people. They got a video conference, the people. They got to have more of that. And that's what I'm insisting upon.
Education system is so outdated right now. I mean, I think a lot of you are going to echo me saying this. We're going to touch on that the next series. So I really thank all of our panelists this morning. Dr. Salah, thank you so very much. If you're still here, thank you so much, Doctor. If you can join
Arlene, us. I don't know if you can hear me, but I see her over there.
It'll be great if you can join us again. If not, then that's okay.
When it comes right after this, or the next meeting is right after this, or is there a little delay or what?
Next Friday. The next two Fridays we're gonna do series 2 through 3. Basically, continue our conversations, and we're gonna collect more questions as well from the audiences. So thank you to all of our panelists. Dr. Salah, thank you so much, sir. And then Dr. Burke, who's gone already for another meeting. Ramon, thank you so much for Netherlands. Now you can go to bed.
Thank you very much. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Mohammed, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. And hopefully you're enjoying the weather in Detroit. And also, of course, Frank, thank you. Enjoy the weather in Texas. I used to go out there.
I apologize for being late. I tried everything to get on. I don't know what was going on.
No worries. We're going to put you the first next time. How about that? The next series you can
walk me through it.
Great. It's okay. Love to have you back again. And attendees, thank you so much. Those of you who are still joining us right now, thank you. Thank you for hanging on with me, with us, with all of us here. Very insightful. We hope to continue this insightful educational conversation soon. And there is a screen that's already on right now. You guys want to sign up. Use the same link. And thank you all for the great panel today, for your time and expertise. All right, until next time, stay safe, stay vigilant. We're all in this together. God bless. Selamat.
Selamat. Bye.
Okay, guys, thank you. Happy Friday. Okay, see you soon. Take care of each other.
Okay.
Bye.
Brooklyn.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Hi, this is Ebony with I Dare saying thank you.
And to volunteer some of our expertise and our services to I Dare.
For this little guy.